Hello, everybody. We welcome you again to our show. My name is Ralph Emery, and I'm sitting in RCA's Nashville studio, Studio B, with one of the hottest stars in the world, Miss Dolly Parton. Dolly, welcome back to our show.
Boy, I didn't know I was that big a deal. You spreading that on a little thick, wouldn't you?
Huh?
You think I'm that hot,
you?
Do
wrote
you?
It down here.
You didn't say it exactly like I told you to say.
No, it's one of the hottest stars in the world.
I did not.
How are you doing, Miss Dolly?
I'm doing good.
Dolly what? Dolly Marie?
Dolly Rebecca.
No, Dolly Rebecca.
Dolly Rebecca Parton. A lot of people ask me if Dolly's my real name. They think it's like a show name, but I guess my mama knew I was going to want to be a star, so she just named me Dolly to start with.
But I want to ask you about your next movie. You're going to go back to Hollywood and make another picture, aren't you?
Yeah. In fact, I'm really excited about doing this next film. It's with Burt Reynolds, and it's from the Broadway musical comedy of The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be writing a lot of the music for that. And I like working with Lillian Jane, but I mean, you know, working with Burt Reynolds, I mean, that's just something else.
You going to do love scenes?
Oh,
with
I sure hope so. I've asked Carl's permission. I got it in writing. So if I can convince Burt that he should kiss me, I think I'll kiss him for every woman in America that ever wanted to. I'm going to lay a good one on him.
Did you have any sort of love scene in 9 to 5?
A sort of love scene. It wasn't really heavy, but I was married to a guy in the movie that's my movie husband, and he's the real husband of one of my good friends, Diana Thomas. His name is Jeff Thomason. She's the one of the secretaries at Katz Gallen, my management agency. And he got the part. People didn't know that I knew him, so he got the part strictly on his own talent. We wasn't supposed to kiss. We didn't know we were supposed to, and this was the very first day of the movie. And boy, you talk about clumsy and awkward. It's hard enough to kiss somebody else, much less somebody else's husband, much less on the first day of shooting a film, and on top of that with all the cameras and the crew and all the people looking on. I never felt so embarrassed in my whole life. But it was just sort of a sweet love scene. We were supposed to be married in the film, so it made it okay. Well, me and Bert ain't going to be married in the movie, so that'll make it juicier.
Dolly, I picked up the paper the other day, and I read a story about your running around out there in Beverly Hills in the buff.
And you did?
Yes. Did you read the same story?
No, I didn't hear nothing about it.
Allegedly,
I don't know nothing about it, and I ain't talking nothing about it. I ain't saying nothing about it, because I don't know nothing about it.
as he went right on with his question, it stated that there had been a story about you in Rolling Stone magazine, and you were allegedly running around out in the streets of Beverly Hills with no clothes on.
Well, now, we got to clear that up, Ralph. It wasn't exactly like it sounds. I didn't do it to be ugly. I didn't do it to be dirty. It happened like this. It was when we was doing 9 to 5, the movie, and I mean, you get a little bored. I mean, being away from home like 3 or 4 months at a time. Well, I was feeling really good this particular night, and my girlfriend Judy and me were coming back from, we'd been to a Mexican restaurant. And I was riding in the car with Greg Perry, who's also produces a lot of my records and works with me. And Judy was in another car with two of our girlfriends. So Judy got to acting real smart and cute, and you know how stubborn I am. And I'm pretty mischievous myself. And I can't stand to be dared.
Really?
Or to back, you know, like somebody to back me in a corner to say, I dare you to do this, or for somebody to, you know, like if I'm in a contest, which is like all in fun, but I'm the kind of person, I do whatever I feel like I have to if it hair lips the devil, and sometimes it does. But anyhow, Judy started acting, you know, like really, we were just doing things. And so finally we had done everything that a body could do, and I thought, well, now what am I going to do to top this? So I just kind of jumped out of the car, and I just kind of ran around the car. And I didn't have on any clothes, but it didn't last but a minute. And I got back in the car, and I won the contest, but she double-dog dared me, so I had to do it.
What do you mean it didn't last but a minute?
Well, I'm just saying I didn't walk around.
Who saw you?
It don't make no difference. They'll never forget it, whoever they were.
Were you on a busy street?
No, actually, I was at a stop sign in Bel Air, in the old sophisticated snooty part of Hollywood. Anyhow, I hope they did see it. It might be good for them. But I don't think anybody saw me except Judy and the two girls in the car, because I threatened Greg with his life if he looked. He didn't, I don't think. Don't care. It didn't matter at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It only mattered after I got my clothes back on. Is that bad? A lot of people were real upset with me about that, but I couldn't help myself.
I was going to ask you if you had received a lot of criticism about that.
I did some, but I received a lot of criticism about most things I do, so it didn't really matter.
You say you just hate to be dared.
Yeah. So don't dare me now.
I was going to say, I'm going to dream up a good dare before I get out
of
here.
But I mean, it's got to be something that, you know, that's really being played out by, you know, by the other person, too. I mean, I've got to win if there's any way I can. You know how you hate to be dared.
Tell who Judy is.
Judy is my best friend, and she's worked with me. Yeah, we've been together since we're 7 years old. We grew up just as poor as the other one, and we lived close to each other all our life. Went through grammar school, high school, reform school together, and we've just been in a lot of meanings together, so, you know, it's like the same as a sister.
Some people will take you very literally, so don't say reform school.
Oh.
They'll say, well, I didn't know Dolly was in reform school.
Well, we should have been.
But Judy has been with you a long time, hasn't she?
Yeah, Judy's really great. She's worked as my personal secretary and personal assistant for years. We travel together, and she's a great, great friend.
Did you play baseball or softball?
Yeah. I was pretty good at it, as a matter of fact, when I was littler. Then I got to where I couldn't run without blacking my eyes. I had to give it up.
Have you ever been on one of these television shows where the stars have to participate in games?
No, I've been asked to be. But you don't have to be on them shows if you can't do nothing.
I'm sure.
But yeah, they're always asking me, like, to play ball or to play tennis or to, you know, be in the running things and all. But I've never participated.
I remember several years ago you used to play tennis.
Yeah, I still do that sometimes, you know, like, but I don't do it in public. I ain't that good. I like to play golf a little bit, but I ain't that good at that either. I like to just kind of piddle around with stuff like that. I can't stay at it long enough to get good at it. But
can't or don't have the time?
I just won't.
Okay.
You know, I guess I could find the time, but I enjoy doing it the way I do it. You know, just kind of hitting at it here and there.
You and Carl ever play golf together or
no,
tennis?
No, but we play tennis every once in a while, and we swim together now that we got a swimming pool. But what we like the most about all these modern things that success has brought, we got a hot tub, and we just live in that thing in the summertime and all through, like, up until like November. You got one?
I haven't got
a hot
tub.
The jacuzzi?
No, I don't have one.
Yeah, well, they don't cost all that much, Ralph. You cheap thing. You could buy one. I know you make enough money off the show. I seen your check. But no, in all honesty, though, that's the one thing.
I have a child who has one. I'll go use it.
Yeah, do that. Do that.
One of my favorite songs by Dolly Parton was not one of her big hit records, but a song I used to see you do this in person, Me and Little Andy.
You know, we never did release this song as a single. I think if we had, that it could have been a big record. It was on the Here You Come Again album, I believe, wasn't it? Or the Heartbreaker.
I'm not sure. You've
I think it was on the Here You Come Again album. But I get as many requests for this little song as anything I ever wrote. And you know, when I used to be with Porter years ago, we used to sing those songs about kids and in that little girl voice, songs like Jeannie's Afraid of the Dark, mm-hmm. and some of the stuff we used to record. But I wrote this song because I just thought it would be just a good thing to do. And I do it on stage still, and it's one of
my
Is
there a
special
story about the character?
Well, I sort of linked it to, like, some kids back home where their mama was pretty wild and their daddy was a drunkard. And, you know, like, they used to, as poor as we were and as big a family as we had, they used to kind of hang around our house a lot. Mama always kind of took them in. But it wasn't, like, the exact story, but it was because of that in the back of my mind. And it's called Me and Little Andy.
Do your little girl voice.
Oh, you mean to...
Right now.
Ain't you got no gingerbread? Ain't you got no candy? Don't you got an extra bit for me and little Andy?
That's cute. You still do this on stage?
Mm-hmm. It's sad, boy. When I do this on stage, I look out in the audience and I see about five or six people just a-slinging tears and that other stuff you sling. And and sometimes when I'm singing it, I sling some of it myself.
Do you ever get emotional on stage?
Oh, yeah. It depends, like if I've been out on the road a long time or if I'm kind of feeling bad or real emotional or something. Sometimes a song like Coat of Many Colors, like if I ain't seen Mom and Daddy in a long time or my folks, or a song like Little Andy, if something has just kind of built up in me emotional. I'm very sensitive and emotional, as most people are. And sometimes, like right in the middle of a song, it's just all I can do. I've just had to turn away from the microphone a time or two on songs like Coat of Many Colors.
How about, there used to be a song about a dog, Cracker Jack?
Cracker Jack. And, that didn't make me cry, but I liked it, so.
Did you have a dog named Cracker
Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, my sister. It was about my sister's little dog, and it got killed. And, it was kind of a sad story because she loved it a lot. Only its name was something else, and I called it Cracker Jack to spare to protect the innocent.
Okay.
I changed his name.
Dolly, Jim Reeves passed away in 64. You came to Nashville in 65. So you didn't really know Jim Reeves, did you?
Well, I came to Nashville in 64, and I got here just before he died. But I had made trips back and forth to Nashville before I ever moved here. And I remember seeing him once. I never talked to him or nothing. But I always thought he was awful good.
Well, RCA still releases his records.
He's still a big star in a lot of places in the world.
Right. The Jim Reeves fan club is very active throughout the world.
You'd be surprised, Ralph, in the people that I see. I know this sounds a little bizarre and a little bit unbelievable, but I see people all the time, I have some friends in different parts of the world, and they don't really realize because of how far into the distance between the music, because they don't get what we've was hits here years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just now being big hits in certain places, and it amazed me to find that how few people know that some of our bigger stars are dead. A friend of mine from Ireland was saying they were waiting for, couldn't wait for Jim Reeves to come to Ireland. And I mean, they don't even realize that he's dead because his records are so hot. And also the same with Patsy Cline. I had somebody say once something about, did I ever see Patsy Cline or something? And don't you find that amazing?
That is
strange. They don't even realize that they're dead.
There is a revival among the Patsy Cline fans. She's become a cult figure
since the result of
Loretta's Picture.
Yeah, didn't you love Loretta's Picture?
By the
way, I love Loretta in it and Patsy Cline. Two greats.
I would imagine there's another. We were talking about how fans think and feel about stars and about people they don't see often. I would imagine you have a hard time convincing people that your husband exists.
That's beginning to be a bigger deal now than it used to be. In fact, I was at RCA today. I spent a couple of days just making phone calls and calling disc jockeys and just checking in with people and saying thanks and all that. And I had about four different people in 2 days say, is this something you and your manager dreamed up, this husband thing? We don't believe that there is a husband or Carl Dean. We think this is a mystery that you've built up and this and that. And you'd be surprised at how many people really think that. But there really is a Carl Dean, and you know it for a fact, don't you?
Well, I've met Carl.
Yeah, you've met Carl. But now you don't know, but what, that could have been a rent-a-husband. I mean, I'm going to get some kids, some rent-a-kids, and make a whole... But no, really, because Carl don't want to be in the limelight, because he's proud of me, and he likes, the fact that that's what I want to do, and I don't interfere with what he likes. But he knows if he ever started doing interviews and got started, people started photographing him and all that, then he wouldn't be able to go to the auto parts store or the ball games and the place he wants to go without being bothered. And he don't want to be a star, so it's his choice, and I respect him.
Dolly, it's like being on the perimeter of an atom bomb, though. I mean, he's got to work at staying out of the spotlight.
Well, not really. I respect his privacy. He respects mine. We have a gate around our house. I'm just not going to put him in that spot. Of course, eventually, it's not that he can't be seen or anything. It's not that pictures of him have not been in certain magazines. It's just that we don't build it up. I mean, we try to keep a separation in our private life. I think it's healthy and smart. And because everybody else's husband or wife that's involved in the business, too, it creates a whole lot of problems, a lot of tension and strain. We don't want to be in the same business. So we're happy and our marriage is working.
How long have you been married now?
Well, we've been married since 1966.
When's your wedding anniversary?
May the 30th.
Where'd you get married?
Ringgold, Georgia.
You just run off one night?
One day. We had plans. I'll tell you a funny story here. I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but I was with Monument Records at the time, and Fred Foster, who is a wonderful man, was great to me back then and is still a good friend of mine today. But I had just started with him, and they thought I should be, you know, they didn't think I could sell country music, and so we started doing some rockabilly or kind of rock stuff, like Happy Birthday Baby.
Yeah.
Which those songs are good, and he'll re-release them one of these days, which I won't mind, because they was pretty good. But I just wasn't ready for that particular thing at the time. But he was, like, putting a lot of money and a lot of time and effort, and I was so in love with Carl, I couldn't see straight. And I was going to get married. And I wanted to get married in church and have a big wedding, and my folks couldn't afford to pay for a wedding. But Carl's mother and daddy were going to have a wedding for me, you know, for us at the church, and they were going to, like, pay for my dress and, you know, and the invitations and all that. So Mama Dean, Carl's mother, was just real excited about it, and she'd already got the invitations and done the cake and the whole thing. Well, I told Fred Foster that I was going to get married, and he didn't like it at all, and he said, I just don't think you should get married, you know, we're putting all this time and this effort and this and that, and he said, if you just promise me you'll wait for a year. And I thought, well, you know, I don't want to mess up, but so I told Carl the situation. I said, we'll go get married anyway, but we just won't have a church wedding, and we won't get married in Tennessee. And so we told our folks what we were going to do, and we were going to keep it, you know, a secret pretty much for a year. So we went the same weekend that I told Fred I'd wait for a year, and we went to Ringo and got married so it wouldn't be in the Tennessee papers. Well, then everybody thought that we had to get married, and everybody kept waiting for the baby that never did come because they didn't realize that we just wanted to, you know, just to do it without everybody knowing. And so after a year had passed, we were so happy, and I was so feeling so good and so content. I had done twice as good a work and all that. And so Fred said, after things were going good, he said, now see, ain't you glad you waited to get married? He said, you still want to get married? I said, I got married the same weekend you told me not to. So we always laughed about that.
And
not that it was funny, Ralph. Just...
You open more can of worms every time you open your mouth. Your mom and daddy doing all right now?
Well, they're having their trouble. You know, the thing with mom and daddy, they're the best in the world. I mean, they were the best parents. And they got married so young and started having kids immediately. Like, mama was 15, daddy was 17 when they married. Had their 12th kid, mama was 35, same age I am right now. And daddy was 37 with 12 kids. Then after we all left home, they realized they didn't have that much in common, and they just have a hard time keeping it together. So they're going to divorce every week, but they're so in love they never do it.
That's cute. That's cute. Dolly... you earlier alluded to the fact that you were not going to play a nude scene in the picture you're going to make with Burt Reynolds. Have you been asked to do nude scenes?
No, I've never been asked to do that. I think people know that I respect myself, and people usually respect people that respect themselves, but I would never do any even really heavy, serious love scenes, like even, you know, slobbering, kissing scenes and all, but I certainly wouldn't do anything as outrageous as being naked. I mean, it's fine for some people if that's what they want to do, but I always think of my mom and dad and my people and the way I was brought up. And besides that, I have a great deal of respect for me, but I've never really gone through a lot of disrespectful things. People have always treated me nice.
Several years ago, did Playboy magazine ask you to pose for them?
They didn't ask me to pose nude. They just asked me to do the cover of Playboy, and I wouldn't do that for a good while. I gave that a lot of thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if they're going to do a good story, and if I can pick the way that I do the cover, design my own outfit, you know, that's in keeping with their magazine, but in keeping with myself as well, then I'll do it. And so that's when we picked the little bunny suit. This was like a bathing suit and the little ears. I mean, it was certainly a full little bathing suit, but...
Yes, it certainly was.
Yeah, but it was, you know, I didn't think that was vulgar. I got a lot of good reaction from that. I didn't get any criticism from that
that
picture. I knew of.
No, it was a cute picture.
And the story was good, and it was honest, because in a magazine like that, of course, you talk about stuff that you don't in Ladies' Home Journal and stuff, but...
Have you read Ladies' Home Journal lately?
No.
It's getting pretty spicy, I hear.
Well, good, then I got some stuff to tell them, then. I'll fix their goat.
We're spending a week here with Dolly Parton. Boy, I can think of guys that'd pay $1,000 for this.
You just can? Well, can I have their numbers? I need the money. It goes to a needy family, my own.
Dolly, are you going to write your autobiography?
I couldn't, Ralph, without hanging myself and a whole lot of other people. Because I am writing it in a lot of ways. I'm writing my life story as a musical. And it's called Wildflowers, and it's about me and a lifestyle and the way I grew up and a lot of people kind of combined. But if I told my real life story, I would want to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And in order to do that, that would be the truth as I saw it and wouldn't necessarily be, you know, somebody else's view of it. And I wouldn't... It's hard when you try to tell your life story and involve other people, and you can't just leave chapters out of, you know, like certain relationships or certain people, whether it would be Porter or, a, you know, family or whatever. And so I just think it's kind of tough to do it, and I would, the way I would want to write it, it would be too hard and too sticky to do it. So,
are you afraid of hurting a lot of feelings?
I'm afraid that I might hurt a lot of feelings without intending to. And so, and besides that, I'm too young to write my life story. I ain't lived my life yet.
Okay. But we are living in an era of books. Loretta's book, Johnny Cash's book, Tammy Wynette's book. And there was a book out about you, which I heard was not authorized.
Well, there's been about three or four books out, and most of them written by people I've never even heard tell of, much less know. And some of them I knew were being put out, and we were kind of put out about it because some of the stuff that was in it kind of hurt the feelings of family and embarrassed, you know, a lot of people. And that's what I'm saying.
When you don't cooperate with a writer, where do they get the information they put in the books?
Well, they gather up information from every interview that you've done in the past, things that other reporters have written about you, and then they give their own opinion of what they think about the stuff and the way they see it, which is fine. You know, there's nothing, that's freedom of the press, but all I'm saying is the books of mine that have been out have not been authorized, and it's always tricky, but when I'm real old, as I may be real soon, then I may write my life story, but it's too soon. It's just too soon.
Dolly, there is a record out, and it's in the country charts these days by you and Porter Wagoner. It follows one that was out earlier called Making Plans. Why are we hearing records by Porter and Dolly again after a hiatus of some 2 or 3 years?
Well, the songs that's in that album and the If You Go, I'll Follow You and Making Plans, these were songs that we did years and years ago that we had, as they say, in the can. And that means songs that you've recorded at different times during your career that didn't make it into an album, or you just had too many songs and they just kept being put aside. But when we were in the lawsuit together, when we were settling that with our business things...
Did you and Porter Wagoner sue each other?
No, he sued me. And, it turned out... It was just kind of an embarrassing thing that I wish had never happened, but in a way it was kind of good that it did, but I mean, that's hindsight. But anyhow, when we were settling the lawsuit, then that was part of the agreement that he could take those songs that we had in the can and redo them, you know, put new music to them, and release them as an album. And I thought the album was very good. I was real proud of that album, and it's doing really good. I don't know that there'll be any... duets in the future. It's not certainly not a it's not an impossible thing. I don't feel that we're enemies.
Are you saying you would record with Porter in the future?
It's certainly not impossible. I would if we could come to some sort of an agreement on how we would do it, and where we both had control of what we were doing.
Creative control.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't want to just go in and do it again with just Porter and get back in the same situations.
I assume when you made records with him, he had all of the creative control then.
Well,
he was the boss.
Well, he was the boss, but he didn't have all the creativity, but he had control, let's put it that way.
Okay.
But, you know, we had some wonderful times. I'll always respect Porter. We went through some bad times. We spent 7 of the best and the worst years that I've ever had in my life. And there's a lot to be said about Porter, both ways. But I'm sure there's a lot to be said about me. So it was pretty equal. I think that we did a lot of good for each other. I'll always be grateful for the good things that I was always grateful for.
Porter gave you a big break, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and I appreciate it.
Dolly, let me ask you something about yourself. You seem to have an awful lot of confidence, and you have mentioned that in this interview. You have a lot of confidence in Dolly Parton. I don't detect any insecurities. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I have a lot of confidence in myself. I have a lot of confidence in people. I think that we can be more. No matter what we are, we can be more. That's why when people... I think you have to be sure of what you can do. I know my limitations. I don't like other people, you know, placing limitations on me. But the things that I feel like I want and that I can do, then I feel that I should get out and try. As a human being, I feel like I should find out what my purpose and reason is in life. I want to know that I have done everything that I can with all the things that God has given me. Otherwise, I feel like it would be a sin. But I like people. I enjoy life. I like to give as much as I take, and more, actually, than I take. But I don't know. I'm happy. I have all the reason to be. I've got a good family, brought up with good parents. And my personality and all that comes from my background in church of believing that all things are possible. I just kind of work with that attitude.
Positive thinker.
Yeah, but that's good.
I think it's very good.
But I'm a person with a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. People say, don't you ever get depressed or whatever. I'm very emotional. I don't make a career out of being depressed. I refuse to waller around in it. But, yeah, I mean, I get hurt deep. But you got to work at being happy just like you got to work at being miserable. Some people are pros at that. But I just choose a different way, I guess.
I'm glad you said that. I think that's true. Some people work at, they're happy being miserable.
No, that is true. But I'm not happy being miserable. So I hurt bad. I mean, I hurt deep. And I cry hard at times, but I get it out and get it over with and get back to better things.
Dolly, I've known you a long time, and there is a mean streak.
Ralph.
And I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. I really think, particularly with reporters who don't know you well, or people who interview you who don't know you well, I really think you would take the occasion to put them on. Is that right?
Well, it would depend on if it was something very serious, I wouldn't.
Do you ever just make up stuff to tell reporters?
I might.
Huh?
I might. Wow, what have you got in mind?
No, I'm just talking about your personality.
Oh, I would pull your leg in a minute, but not if it was something that you were sincerely asking me about. Well, it's possible. I would be a great creative
if you
liar.
Thought the story was whimsical, and if it was a type story that did, you know, where the answer didn't really matter, I suppose you would take that occasion to put people on, wouldn't you?
I suppose I might. You want to make something out of it? Are you calling me a liar?
No.
Well, at least you can say I'm creative with it. But no, I pull people's legs. Yeah, I'm full of bull, but if it's something that matters and if it's something serious, then I'll give you a very honest answer. Sometimes I like to kid people just to see if they'll know or pick up on it. I usually won't let it go all that far either if I see they really fell for it. And then I'm always doing it to Johnny Carson. Like when I do Johnny's show, I'm always telling him, you know, some rigmarole. And he really believes me, like some people do. I just let them fall right into it, and then I'll usually, like, come out of it. But
he likes you.
I like him, too.
If what I have seen on television is an example, he looks like he likes you.
Well, we like each other. But, you know, I don't know him except on the panel and at commercials. When they go into commercials, we talk at the panel. I've never seen him otherwise. People think we're like these long friends.
Would you give a year's pay?
Yeah. That was funny.
Well, shoot. We're just about to the end of our visit with Dolly. Miss Parton. Dolly, how many wigs have you got now?
Oh, same old cheap ones. I don't really know. I just say that I have 365, one for each day of the year. But I don't know.
I saw you when you were on the Tonight Show talking about your wigs, and you referred to them as these old cheap wigs.
Well, they're a dollar a dozen.
And I wondered if people really believe that, or if they.
Well, they are cheap wigs. I ain't kidding. They're the like the Ava Gabor and all those like wigs like that. Because I don't, the way I wear my hair and the look that I've got used to. I mean, I could buy whatever I wanted to as far as wigs are concerned right now, but they ain't as convenient. These are just synthetic wigs, and I like them. They're handy and they're not expensive. The way I get them, they're like $30 a wig. And that's the honest truth, the $30. When I say $1.98, but I mean, when you consider the people that really wear expensive wigs, they cost like $1,000 for a hand-done wig. Now, I have a few of them, especially for the movies and stuff, but they still look cheap.
Are they all
the way
blonde?
I wear them. Yeah, they're all blonde.
Got any dark?
I got a red one, and I got a brown wig, but I don't look good in either one of them.
How long since, I remember seeing you on the television show Dolly one time in pigtails. How long since you have appeared in public without the wigs?
You mean except that time?
Yeah.
It's been a long time. It's probably been 5 years.
This is part
years.
Of your image, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's handy, too. My hair don't hold curl a lot, and to tease it the way that my look is gets to be real damaging, especially since I color my hair. And my hair just, it's just, my hair's straight, and it just don't hold its curl. And that's why I like synthetic wigs, because they hold their curl whether it's rain or shine.
Well, Dolly, this is where we have to break it off.
This is where we get off?
Yeah.
Okay,
golly, I really enjoyed being with you.
Well, I enjoyed it, too. I always love you. Still got a crush on you, if that's okay. And I'll see you whenever you can grab a hold of me again.
Well, you're kind of hard to grab a hold of.
Yeah, but if anybody can do it, you can.
I mean, not that there ain't a whole lot to grab a hold of. It's just I don't see you that often.
Well, that's true. But I'll see you again. We'll have some good stuff to talk about next time. If you saw me too much, we'd get boring. We might have been anyhow, but we thought we was good, didn't we?
Good luck in Hollywood.
Thank you.
I hope to see you in the movies a lot.
Well, you might. We'll see.
Our show featuring Dolly Parton. And we hope you've enjoyed it, my friends. This is Ralph Emery, and we thank you for listening.
Bye. Trouble me not, go ye elsewhere. Go light your blue sky and I'll shed my blue tears. For the only one that I have ever loved has gone away. And I'm in no mood for the sunshine today. Blue wings.
Well, certainly hope you enjoyed that little interview there, followed by the song from Dolly, My Blue Tears. Boy, what good harmony on that song. Love it. Well, you know, when you think of male-female duets in country music, you think a lot about Dolly because you, of course, think of Porter and Dolly, and later, of course, Dolly and Kenny Rogers and some others. But there were a lot of male-female duets out of Nashville, out of the recording scene. Of course, George and George Jones, Melvin Montgomery, George and Tammy. You could just, you know, Jim Ed and Helen. You could go on and on. But a lot of times we forget about one that a couple that did a lot of singing, a lot of recording, Bill Anderson and Jan Howard. And of course, Bill had the syndicated show, TV show, for years, and Jan was always on that with him. And they did a lot of recording. They recorded a lot of songs, recorded several albums. We're going to hear one of those songs right now. Here are Bill and Jan to sing a really, really country thing, We Might As Well Be Friends.
Let's take time out together, quiet it again. We're mad and white, we might as well be friends. You don't kiss me like you used to kiss me. Sometimes I think that there must be somebody new.
And when I come home at night, you act like you didn't even miss me. Lately, honey, I've even had my doubts about you.
We used to face the world and life together. We used to talk of your ambitions and our dreams.
Been taking our love for granted. We have time for everything except each other, it seems.
Let's take time out together.
Let's go away and spend some time together and see if that old spark of love's still burning bright.
I want us to be close, you know, like we used to be. And not just two ships that pass each other in the night.
Let's take time out together, quiet it again. We're man and wife, we might as well be friends.
Last night a lover's moon was shining bright and clear. He whispered words of love so tenderly, but I couldn't say the words he longed to hear. I thought of you and things that might have been. I thought of you and it was useless to pretend. For when he asked me if I loved him too, I closed my eyes, sweetheart, and thought of you. Thank you. find the thrill that we once knew. It would have broke his heart if he had known that I was just pretending it was you. Thought of you and it was useless to pretend. For when he asked me if I loved him too, I closed my eyes, sweetheart, and thought of you.
Jean Shepherd there with one of her fine Capitol recordings, I Thought of You. And actually, that was the flip side of her big hit Beautiful Lies from long about 1955, I believe. Well, folks, that's just about going to end it up for the Listener's Choice, edition number 36, and in this case, for the Listener's Choice magazine. And it's been so much fun, and I'm glad that you all have participated and enjoyed it, and it's just been great. The holiday season for 2008 is right up on us. And by the time you all get these tapes, and I want to take this opportunity to wish each of you a great holiday season. Have a good one. Take care. And who knows, we may see you somewhere around the corner. We're going to call on Leon Payne to close this magazine out with a traditional old country flavor. This song has been recorded over the years by tons and tons of artists, but Leon Payne penned it, and this was the original recording and the original hit. Leon Payne and I Love You Because. Bye-bye, everybody.
Because you understand, dear, every single thing I try to do. You're always there to lend a helping hand, dear. Most of all, I love you 'cause you're you. No matter what the world may say about me, I know your love will always see me through. I love you for the way you never doubt me, but most of all I love you 'cause you're you. Walking by your side, I love you because the future's brighter, the door to happiness you open wide. No matter what may be the style or season, I know your heart will always be true. I love you for 100,000 reasons. Most of all, I love you 'cause